I'm reading to you from the King James translation. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. This morning we talked about some really important things, and we concluded our thoughts this morning with the question, wouldn't it be best to make sure? Isn't the Lord's church, as we read about it in the New Testament, for sure the best thing for us? As we look around and see all of the religious division in the world everywhere, offering all kind of options and choices and selections, and most of that has come from the desire to cultivate the relationship with selfishness. Now, that sounds a little bit harsh, but let me tell you what I mean when I say most of that has come about as a result of the effort to cultivate a relationship with selfishness. So much of the religious division in the world today has taken place because of all of the invented doctrines and teachings and ideas that people have come up with. And somewhere along the line, that started out with a thought sort of like this. You know, I know that God says so and so, but I kind of like this a little better. And you can deny that, you can argue, you can refuse to believe it, but if you'll be totally honest about it, that's where that comes from. The religious division we have in the world today has been helped along by the fact that we want what we want. We don't always want what God wants. But we're talking about salvation. And so it makes every bit of sense in the world from a logical standpoint to do whatever is sure. You'll notice that's what Peter says here, to make your calling and election sure. Making sure. The first thing you come to in reading that verse is a phrase which doesn't really fit in with our modern English very well. And so getting beyond the King James translation, other more modern translations have put it in different ways. But the King James Version says, wherefore the rather. That's an old-fashioned phrase that literally means instead. Instead of doing what has just been described, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. To give diligence means to give the very best effort you have, to do the very best job you can, to exhaust every effort, to leave nothing undone, to give diligence. You know how many times that phrase occurs in the Bible? It's there a lot of times. I looked it up in the American Standard Translation. The phrase give diligence is occurring 8 times in the New Testament. And it's in a couple of really familiar places. It's what Paul used to introduce the thought over in 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. We're more accustomed to the New American Standard rendering, study to show yourself approved unto God. Give diligence to show yourself approved unto God is the way the King James and the American Standard Version render it. You'll also find that phrase over in the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 11, where the writer says, give diligence or be diligent to enter into that rest, and don't fall into the same pattern, the same trap that the Israelites fell into in the wilderness because they didn't get to enter into God's rest. Peter uses that phrase again here in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 14. Wherefore, brethren, seeing that you look for such things, now we got to stop and ask ourselves, what's he talking about? What are we looking for? He's just completed the instruction, which includes the fact that the day of the Lord is going to come as a thief in the night, and the heavens will pass away, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are in it shall be burned up. And he says in verse 13, nevertheless, we according to his promise look for new heavens and a new earth. And don't mistake it, that's talking about heaven. That's talking about our eternal reward that we receive after we have completed our lives here on this earth, after life on earth comes to an end. And so he says, wherefore, seeing you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. So it seems that every time you turn around, the Bible is telling us to be diligent, to give diligence. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Calling and election. Those words raise a red flag in your mind when you come across them? Do you immediately think, oh brother, here comes an argument with the premillennialist. Here comes the Calvinist doctrine. Your calling and election. Because there are those in this world who teach that verses like this are referring to the fact that sometime way back before the beginning, God sat down and made a list. If we could give God human characteristics for the purpose of this illustration, God made a list of everybody who was going to be saved and everybody who was going to be lost. And the column there that included those who are going to be saved, no matter what happens, no matter what they do, their names are on the list. They are the, in the words of this false doctrine, they are the elect. They have been predestined, pre-decided, predetermined, they say. They are the elect. The word calling is also a word that's associated with some of those same kind of teachings. God only saves the ones who he's already decided to save, and they're the ones that he's going to call, and you can't resist God's call, some even say. That's not what this verse is saying. And if you believe that that's what this verse is teaching, you haven't read it very carefully. Look at it again with me. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Let me put it another way. According to the false doctrines of Calvinism and premillennialism, predestination, what this verse is saying is, give diligence or do your best to foil God's plan that he made that involved putting your name on the list that's not going to be saved no matter what. Wait a minute. You know, you're right. He does say that I have a responsibility to make my calling and election sure. And so if it's something that God's already decided beforehand, if it's something that has already been determined, how am I going to have an effect on it? That's what he says, though. Wherefore, brethren, give diligence. You give diligence. Me? Yes. Yes, me. But I thought God had already decided that. No, no. There's the problem with those doctrines. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You make sure. Well, you know, that puts it in a whole different perspective then, because at this point, it's all on me. And that's exactly what the New Testament teaches. God has done His part. God has provided the way. God, through His grace, devised the plan and set the plan in motion and provided the sacrifice to be offered to pay the price for the sins of the world. The sacrifice has been offered, and now from here on out, it's on me. Well, I don't mean that God's not going to help me along the way, but I mean it's up to my decision whether I decide to obey God and accept the gift of His grace and deny ungodliness and worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, Titus 2:11 and 12. Or whether I'm going to say, no thanks, I don't want it. That's the position I'm in. That's the position you're in. God has provided the sacrifice. Now it's up to us to make our calling and election sure. Along the same lines that Paul spoke of in writing to the church at Philippi in Philippians 2, verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You know, it's high time that we shouldered the responsibility that is ours. We don't need to be sitting around and waiting for God to do the part that we're supposed to do. God provided the sacrifice. We are to bring obedience to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, if, what about if not? The if not doesn't look so good. Because he says, if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now that brings up another question that we need to ask ourselves. What's he talking about? He says, if ye do these things. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but already two times within the space of about an inch and a half in my little Bible here, he's already used that phrase, these things. He's already been talking about these things. And so we need to look back up there and see what he's referring to, because these things are the things that hold the key. If you do these things, you shall never fall. Back up there in verse 8, we find it the first time. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so, according to what we've just learned, instead of lacking these things and being blind and short-sighted and having forgotten that we were purged from our old sins, instead of doing that, we need to give diligence to make our calling and election sure. Now back to these things. Let's back up just a little bit further. Somebody said this lesson could probably be called 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, studied backward. Well, that's probably a good title for it, because in order to understand it, we need to back up and see what he's referring to. These things, I believe he starts listing these things in verse 5. And so Actually, this study is a study of 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Look at verse 5. Besides this, giving all... Wait a minute. Besides this, I see there an indicator that we might need to back up even further in order to get the whole story. Verse 3. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I'm so thankful that God, according to His divine power, has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Do you realize how miserable life would be on this earth if God had not given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness? I spent some time with an old friend yesterday. We had lunch together, and in the course of lunch, he told me about his daughter who lives in another state. And the fact that her father-in-law has been diagnosed with some type of cancer. I can't remember what it is, but it's in very far advanced stages. He is already very elderly and very weak, and there's really nothing that can be done except, this sounds cruel, I don't mean it this way, but the only thing that can be done now is just to let the cancer take its course, to keep him comfortable. But the worst part of this story is what I'm about to tell you now. He said she is distraught over this, not because he has cancer, not because he's obviously going to die soon, but because he does not believe in God. He does not believe in God in any way, in any form, in any fashion whatsoever. And I said, that's tragic. Knowing his daughter like I do, I know that she has tried every argument and reasoning that she can think of. But the man still refuses to believe in God. Can you imagine how miserable life would be if you did not believe in God, if you did not have your faith in God, if you did not believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek after Him, Hebrews 11, verse 6. If you didn't have that confidence that He has provided us with all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What a miserable existence. And so in verse 4 he says, whereby, or by this, through this, in this, we are given, or are given unto us, exceeding great and precious promises. At the risk of sounding repetitious, how awful life would be if it were not for God's great and precious promises. That by these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Folks, this is exactly why we live by the rule that we are not of the world. We're in the world, but thanks to God's promises and provision and the knowledge that we have through Jesus Christ, we're not of the world. And so besides this, he says, we're back to verse 5 now again, finally. Giving all diligence, of course, what other word would he use? Giving all diligence, add to your faith Your faith that He is and that He rewards those who seek after Him. Your faith that is bolstered by His provision. Your faith that allows you to trust in His promises. Add to your faith virtue. Virtue is right living. And add to your virtue knowledge. Never pass up an opportunity to gain better spiritual knowledge. Add to your knowledge temperance. Temperance is another word for self-control. And to your temperance, add patience. Oh, for more patience. And to your patience, godliness. Godliness is a word which points us in the direction of a deep and abiding desire to please God. And to your godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. King James Version says charity. Now we're back to verse 8 again. For if these things, what things? These things that we've just seen. If these things be in you and abound, they'll help you to be fruitful. They'll keep you from being barren. But the one who lacks these things is blind and short-sighted, cannot see afar off, and even has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Now, instead of being like that, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. That does not mean that it's impossible for us to go astray. That does not mean that it's impossible for Satan to approach us with temptations. But it does mean, and is backed up by plenty of other places in Scripture, that if we're on the right track with God and we're doing our best to serve Him and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, is continually cleansing us from our sin so that we are able to remain in fellowship with one another, in fellowship with Him, and we don't have to worry. We don't have to sit around and think, well, what if I'm lost? What if there's something I haven't done? What if there's something I don't know about? It's all right here. And so there's not anything that we don't know about. Let's make sure that there's not anything we don't know about. And let's do these things so that we will never fall. You know, one of the most beneficial things that I've been able to find in my life, insofar as my relationship with God's Word, is to be able to see the simple, common, everyday, basic lessons that are contained in passages just like this. Study it. Think about it. Take it apart, word by word, and learn. And what we learn, let's do. If you're subject to our Lord's invitation in any way, we'll sing this song to encourage you and invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.